people, it is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Off for another day of broadcast insolence.
And we just heard in Kim's news that there's a new section of Chicago Riverwalk to enjoy and check out this summer. That's going to be pretty cool. The new $12 million expansion there. Lakeshore Drive, what is it, Michigan Avenue East, the east part portion of the Riverwalk.
Hold on. Lucky for us, it's right at the window.
Let's take a live look at the
new
CLTV.
Trail.
Excuse me, CLTV, hold on one second.
Riveting television.
It's right down there.
Mm-hmm. Pointing to the Riverwalk portion unveiled today.
People are walking on it.
Are there signs of activity?
Can you bring up this camera right here? You know what I'm talking about on the CLTV? Because you bring that up, I can show you. I'm going to do a full Demetrius Ivory here.
Oh, do you approve, Ro?
So far, I approve, Kim. Thank you for asking.
Okay, good.
What's the most exciting thing you see at the present moment down there in the new section of the Riverwalk?
Concrete. I see concrete. Oh. I'm enjoying the concrete. I'll tell you why. Because concrete contractors got paid to make that.
They did.
It's beautiful.
The city is pretty proud, though, because it was
there
the federal loans.
That's not the right camera.
What do you got?
The other camera.
Let's get the right camera
that's
up. I mean,
the
please.
Other way. The one that looks toward Navy Pier.
That's more of the western portion. This is the far eastern section that leads you up to the lake.
And then I'm gonna show people again. If you're on the radio, just follow along. This is so easy. there's a river. I'm going to paint a picture for you. There's a river, and then on the right side of the river, as you're looking down the river toward Navy Pier, toward the lake, you see concrete.
Of Michigan Avenue.
Yeah. So right here,
we got the right one now? No, we've got you pointing to a window. You can't really see out that window,
Ro. Whatever. The point is, it's beautiful. There's benches where you can look into the river, and you can see dead bodies floating by.
Oh, I think they're cleaning up the river.
Maybe that's why the color is so weird today.
Yes, and fecal grease balls. Because, you know, you get a lot of that at this time of year when there's, like, heavy rains. Because,
it's a little of an overflow issue.
Yeah, and people don't necessarily clean up their, you know, dog mess. And there's a lot of indigenous folk who live along the riverbank here. We like to call them the river people. And when it rains real hard, they like to go to the bathroom. Can I tell a little story about that for today?
Sounds like a lovely story just from the intro. What do you know about that?
All right. So I parked my car today downtown. Mm-hmm. And you know how the people they love the Blazer. You know, it's like it's the hottest, sexiest new car. Would we all agree?
We've all been in it. Batmobile.
Yes, right? Isn't it? Thank you, Lauren. It's exactly what it is. Okay. So I park in this little area that is kind of the little, like, underground. It's not Lower Wacker, but it's near Lower Wacker. Mm-hmm. It's like an entrance-exit area out of there. And there's legal parking there. Mm-hmm. Totally legal. Paid my money on my app. Walk away. Mm-hmm. I come back. And I see a guy who is literally in an act of self-love on my car.
What?
Yes.
Can you be a little more descriptive, Ro?
No, I cannot.
Please don't.
Any detail. Give us play-by-play like you just did with the Riverwalk.
I think we got it. Oh.
And now I'm walking toward my car.
Which area of the car? Was he on the hood?
He was on the street. Yeah, the car was parked, you know, heading where the driver's side was out on the outside, right? So I see the guy standing there. There's like a little pay station next to where the guy is. So he's in between my car and the pay station trying to, I think, disclose, you know, they keep himself, you know.
Do you offer to give him a hand?
And so I see him standing there, and now I cut out onto the street to, you know, get in the driver's side of the car.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, why is that guy just standing there? And I'm like, you know, it's weird. It's, you know, it's Chicago. And then all of a sudden I see this really unmistakable motion.
Oh wow.
Going on. It's hard to not know what that is, right? This is like when we were talking about the animals at the zoo. You just know when to see it. And the guy just, you know. So I avoid eye contact.
Yeah, that's smart.
I get in the car. I'm still avoiding. I've never looked farther. Like, you know, it's like one of those movies. Like, honey, just look ahead. Just look ahead. Don't look.
Just pretend
don't
it's not that. A big deal.
Except I'm saying that to myself, right? So I.
You never talked to the guy. You never said anything like, "Hey, get away from here." Because he was on your car.
Yeah, well, it was toward my car.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he was close enough to my car that it would have, you know, had it, you know. So I just take off.
That's flattering for your car. I mean, that's how good looking it is.
I'm going to call Chevy about this and see if they like the idea.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure they love it.
This is a terrible story.
All right, just hear me out.
Of the bowels of the city.
How much people love this car.
Sure, it was the car.
That's the pitch.
That's the pitch. I'm gonna. You know. You want to make all of these revenue positive moments,
yeah.
And so I thought that this would be kind of a moment. You know, where they, hey, I'm. You know,
right.
That's it. The people love the car.
They love it so much.
Yeah,
this guy every so, so much, often.
Right. Yeah,
I find people standing very close to it in an intimate way.
He was in love with it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that worked out well for you, and you were.
Well, I got away.
You got away.
I got away.
Phew.
That was the important thing.
Phew.
What time was this at? It was like a morning situation?
No, this was at, I'll tell you exactly what time it was. It was 1:32 p.m.
You don't forget what time it was after seeing something like that.
Right.
I'm glad you and the car survived that whole incident.
Well, then it's like, oh my God, I haven't even looked at that side of the car. I don't even know. I mean, there's no car wash alive that can handle that.
I was going to say, you go straight to the car wash after that. The look on Lauren and Anna's face is outstanding.
I'm just there, like, so bad.
It's a great way to start the week.
I know.
I like it.
It was happening, though. It was
anyway, happening. For the Riverwalk, the mayor, there is some, is it okay and wise and everyone agrees we should change the subject? There is a push now to name it the Rahm Emanuel Riverwalk, and so that's the other piece of the story. And that push, when I say that a push, I say specifically from the fifth floor of City Hall.
And the Riverwalk looks so good now that the guy that was by Rose Car is on the new part of
he's
the Riverwalk.
He's heading over
there. Right.
Go look out the window again. Hey. See if he's over there.
Hey. New inspiration.
Hey, boat going by. Hey, I love you. Oh, God. All right, I gotta go.
I'm glad it survived your car.
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming, yeah. All right, I'm gonna go now.
It's all gonna be okay.
Lourdes Duarte is standing by, and I can't retell this story to her because it would be it's some violation of the corporate act here at Tribune Media.
And embarrassing to all of us.
Yes, thank you. All right, we'll be right with her in just a moment. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's happening at the bottom of the hour in the news?
Ro, the mayor of Sandwich is stepping down. We'll tell you why.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Why wait until the middle of a cold, dark day?
All right. All right, you're all fired back there.
Ew.
Lourdes.
What's going on?
Hi, Lourdes.
Lourdes, we had a bad incident earlier tonight.
Uh-oh. You look very nice in white, though, by the way. I do have to say that. I like that shirt.
Well, thank you very much.
You look sharp, man.
That's very lovely of you to say. And you look beautiful in yellow.
Thanks.
I would like to say that. And for those of you on the radio, this means nothing to you. But I had a guy who tried to sort of have a relationship with my car today downtown.
Oh, pretty gross. You don't want to don't ask any follow up questions. Yeah. Just let
as a reporter, you're telling her not to ask follow up questions. I know.
She's wise in these ways.
Yeah, text me. I'll tell
you
the rest.
Got good instincts.
All right. So so we were just talking about your story.
Yeah.
Is this for tonight?
I heard that promo. Yeah, for tonight at 9:00. I'm actually still working on it. Going back and forth with the salesperson in this case. Have you guys ever seen those ads on like Facebook Marketplace and they look like really good deals? So maybe you call or you purchase one of those things. I've got a family that found a window salesperson through Facebook Marketplace. They gave them $36,000 and they've waited a year for windows that are supposedly coming from Slovakia.
Oh, Slovakian window company.
Yes. So we've been able to track down that salesperson. He's gone back and forth with us. But the family's been really battling this whole year to try to get that money back. The FBI says that these non-delivery, non-payment cases are the top three complaints that they get in their offices, and losses have ranged to about $141 million nationwide just this year.
Is this something the FBI can do something about?
Here's where it gets really tricky, because when you're dealing with a company that's overseas, there are jurisdictional issues. Is it the type of case that police want to devote a whole lot of time to? Because you're dealing with a company overseas, it could take quite a bit of time. Do they want to spend their resources on doing doing that. And so a lot of times, unfortunately, the families get left without the money if they can't recover it from the salespeople. So, yeah.
What is the local company saying, Lourdes? I mean, are they still setting, do they still have a shop here and they're still fielding phone
calls?
Here's
the thing. It's not necessarily a shop. It's a salesperson who was representing this company in Europe. And he was advertising through Facebook Marketplace, and so that's where it gets a little bit tricky. He says that there's a misunderstanding. The family says there is no misunderstanding. They've paid the $36,000, and it's been over a year, and they haven't gotten the money. So we kind of walk the viewer through what has happened, the stories that the family was getting from both the salesperson and the company, so that they can kind of see, you know, what went on or what could happen to them in a situation like this.
Gee,
yeah, the BBB says they've never even heard of this guy. The Secretary of State's office, he wasn't registered with them. Customs, I reached out to them to see if the windows, because they claim the windows were shipped here to the U.S. They don't have any record of any windows ever being shipped to this country.
So you have been able to track down the salesperson, though.
Yeah. And this was kind of a scary one, guys, because I went to his house. His wife, who knew that we were there trying to talk to him, released her their German Shepherd, which was a very, very large dog. And it kind of brushed up against me, so you kind of hear my voice quiver a little bit as I try to get answers from this guy. It was quite a day for my photographer and myself.
Ultimately, I mean, we were going to wait and see the story.
Yes,
but
you have
was
to watch
he,
it tonight at 9.
Was he hostile, or did he try to explain things?
He did not try to explain things. He's been emailing me back and forth this afternoon, I think, after he saw the promos running. But when I went to his house, he was a little aggressive. Yeah.
So we'll see that.
So we'll see a little
we
bit
will be able to assess his aggression for ourselves and the dog.
Correct.
And the dog. And to me, the worst part would be the dog would brush up and leave hair, and I would end up being allergic, and that would be see, that could be a problem. Long-haired dog. All right. Well, that's very exciting.
So we're working on that, and then also
that's at 9.
That's at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Today at 4 o'clock, Ben is not here, which is why he couldn't join you guys, because he's in D.C. Covering the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. So you know, we lost four officers: Samuel Jimenez, Mar Malejo, Conrad Gary, and of course Paul Bauer in the last year. And so they were added to that memorial, and he's been in D.C. talking to the families as they become a part of that. Of that event this afternoon.
Right.
Yeah, I heard he did an awesome job,
remarkable
job, just profiling the families of those fallen officers who were there for emotional
event. You'll get to see a little bit of that. Yeah,
I've gotten to know a number of the members of those families over the last year, and that, you know, again, you know, Paul Bauer was lost to us 15, 16 months ago, right?
Yeah.
February of last year. But, you know, in very quick succession, the other three officers were lost in the fall. And, and it was, you know, it's taxing. Obviously, I mean, the families, it's unbelievable grief, but it is also just on the entire police community. You know, it's hard in Chicago with all the things that Chicago police officers and their families are dealing with just in the daily news cycle. And then to also understand and have the pure mortality of the job, you know, face them every day it's a really tough thing, and it's a beautiful ceremony in Washington, and it's obviously I think there are 300 names this year being added from across the country.
Yeah,
you think about that.
How about that?
So.
It's sobering.
All right, Lourdes,
well,
thank you very much.
You guys get a chance to watch tonight at 4 o'clock.
We will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lourdes.
All right, Lourdes Duarte, right
bye
there.
Bye.
WGN TV News. You'll see her at 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 14.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 AM WGN and CLTV.
Yeah. It's a nice demonstration you did earlier along the river, explaining the new river walk.
Thank you to the CLTV viewers. I like to, you know what I like to do?
Mm-hmm.
I like to be able to make sure that people can follow along on the TV, because it's, you know, this is a visually stimulating program that we do here.
It is.
Yes. Between all of the incredibly pretty people on this program.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you, Mr. Powell.
Sitting in chairs, talking to a microphone,
right.
Very visually.
That's what we do. And then we've been very beautiful views of the river right behind us, which is how we roll.
Take advantage of what you have to work with here, Ro. We have the beautiful backdrop.
Now, here's a good-looking man that we're adding just to this soiree here.
Yes.
Mr. Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel. He's got eyes like diamonds.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi, Brett.
Hey, wait, before we go any further, let me just say this. Keep listening next hour for your chance to win a pair, a family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox take on the Indians on Thursday, May 30th. Get tickets at WhiteSox.com or 866-SOX-GAME. Tune in every Monday during the 4 p.m. hour to get your tickets for White Sox. All right. Had to get that out of the way. You know, I got a question for you. Are we worried about this tariff situation? Because the Dow took a little bit of a pooper today. There are some farmers that, there's farm industry groups that are, jumping up and saying, hey, let's think about this before we actually act. What is the talk in Washington?
Well, there is a lot of concern about it. And there is obviously the White House and the president are, portraying that this is going to end up being a good deal and that the tariffs, if we have to do them, which we are doing them now, are going to, essentially make money. But what happened was over the weekend, Larry Kudlow, obviously a senior economic advisor for the president, kind of let the cat out of the bag and said, yeah, this is going to hurt. And you don't see that in the nuance of the tweets. There's not really any nuance in those tweets.
Really, Brett? Has there ever been? I mean, let's be honest.
Cut and dry. Yeah. So I think the going bet is that there will be some pain. And the question is how long does China want to feel it? And how much can be done for farmers to alleviate some of it on this side?
And how quickly? Because I think the other issue was the U.S. was saying they might provide aid to some farmers to make up for the lost revenue that from sales of soybeans and other kinds of agricultural materials to China. But that sort of led a lot of people to believe, well, wait a minute, there can't possibly be a deal close or on the horizon if you're going to try to get some kind of aid package passed like that.
Exactly. So I think that spooked the market as well. And when we see a big move like that, it's baked in. There was a belief that this was going to be an optimistic few days with the Chinese here in Washington. It turned out to be not the case.
Yeah. So again, going back to Larry Kudlow kind of breaking a little bad on the White House, he did directly contradicted not only the idea that this was good, but he also contradicted one of the misrepresentations that the president has made about how tariffs work and about how, who actually is paying for the tariffs. And the and Kudlow, was asked directly about that and corrected the record. And, you wonder in this environment in Washington, does that cost Kudlow anything? I mean, does Kudlow have, because he took a heart attack for the president, does he get to do whatever, say or do whatever he wants? Or is he on short term? You saw this with, that the economic advisors kind of almost have to live off of the same script.
Yeah, and foreign policy advisors are not far away from that. I mean, you saw a big Washington Post story about the president kind of distancing himself from John Bolton when it comes to Venezuela and a little bit more hawkish policy towards U.S. military involvement. I think that any advisor in this White House has to watch it, because at some time, if you're not up to date of where the president is on tweet, 20 of the past day and a half, then you could get out on a limb pretty easily. I think Kudlow did that. But I do think that they're going to hang tough on this policy and not going to back down. And that has surprised the Chinese more than anything.
And what about the sabotage or the attacks on these commercial vessels that we're reporting? One of them was on its way to deliver oil to the United States, and that Iran is apparently saying, well, that wasn't us.
Yes, and they could say that. We'll see what the intelligence people come back with, but that's always a threat in the in moving oil across that dangerous region. I think that also has an effect on the market when you see big attacks like that on tankers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and that's part of the run up here. And let's talk a little bit about where the Persian Gulf run up for you got a carrier group that is moving into the area. That's a big deal to move a United States Navy carrier task force anywhere. And it's not only a logistical big deal, but it's a lot of firepower that goes into a region. It's enough firepower to win World War II in one region, essentially.
Yeah. So, and they made a big show of it. I mean, it's not often that the U.S. Navy puts out a video of the USS Lincoln going through the Suez Canal. But they did. Because why? They wanted to send the signal that we're not going to put up with any BS from Iran. If there are any attacks, it's going to be responded to right away. And that's the signal, both publicly and privately. Pompeo's in Brussels today, meeting about Iran. And I think they take these threats really seriously, that there must be some solid intel that it was going to happen.
It's interesting that, you know, that we, as the United States, I know that it's very hard. You have to pick your bedfellows in the Middle East, right? There are very few clean hands in the world, period, but certainly in the Middle East. And, you know, we've chosen to go with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We've obviously Israel. And those two don't like each other very much either, but they're uncomfortable bedfellows at the moment because everybody's mad at Iran and Hezbollah and all that. But Russia is in line with Iran as long as it came to the actions in Syria and some of the other stuff. And I just, you know, I know we're in these like little short term sort of near focus alliances, but the longer focus alliance that we're trying to create, where the president wants to just play a game of balance between China, Russia, and us, that's going to fall short because China and Russia are not on our side when it comes to the Middle East.
Right, and it's a tough three-dimensional game of chess. I mean, you move one piece, there are, you know, two other moves that happen. And I think that Russia is not our friend. They are not our friend when it comes to Syria, not our friend when it comes to Iran. They're not our friend when it comes to Venezuela. I mean, they're down there telling Maduro to stay in power. So I think it is a delicate dance, and one of the reasons Pompeo is talking to the Russians to try to, I think, negotiate some of this when it comes to Iran,
and
specifically.
The president says he is planning on sitting down with Putin and Xi at the G20 summit coming up.
Yeah, and that's a big meeting. The president sees his personal interactions with leaders as a big positive. He thinks he can sway them. He can work a room, but when you're talking about these dictators and leaders who, you know, are not looking at days, they're looking at years as far as the impact of things, right. It's a lot tougher.
Yeah. And it's different swaying a room of fans versus strategic enemies, you know, or strategic adversaries, let's say, not enemies, but people who have their own interests ahead of your interests in every single facet.
And yeah, he couldn't do it in North Korea. You know, he couldn't sway Kim off of their nuclear ambitions. And so the personal stuff, you know, hasn't really panned out as much as I think he would want to.
Do we have a sense that that's going to be, they're not getting the kind of rhythm, I don't think, from Russia and China that he thought he was going to get on North Korea either?
No, and Russia is doing a lot of things that, as I mentioned, are kind of a bee in the bonnet of our U.S. military and our diplomatic efforts around the world. China is trying to dominate. They're trying to dominate the economic equation. And if you look in Latin America, the investment that's flowing through these countries that, you know, are just getting tons and tons of Chinese investment, it's quite something. They're trying to, you know, take over our edge of the world.
Yeah. And then the Democrats, you know, they're sitting over there all kind of doing this weird dance. And I cannot believe, what was it, 4 years ago, right about now, we were talking, you, Brett, were talking about, you were getting ready. You announced right about this moment. You know, the first debate that we're hosting is in August and that it turned out to be like a game-changing moment.
Sure.
In this entire, you know,
26 million people tuned in,
right.
17 candidates.
Right.
Wow.
Now there's 24 potential candidates. I mean, you're going to have the Montana governor get in this race. And the amazing part is that the polls so far indicate Biden's way ahead. We have so far to go, though. It's nine months until one person votes. 9 months. And as you mentioned, the first debate is in June.
Right. So, and you said, I'm in my jaw dropped. You go, Megan and I are going to be hosting a debate in August. And I'm like, oh, what? It's not even the election year. And then... And then now it's June. I think in 2024, it most likely will be in May or maybe February of the year before. It's clearly a sign of the times. But do you anticipate that these things, these early ones? I mean, obviously yours did, because that's where all the headlines and sort of the animosities and all that other crazy stuff that happened in 2016 started with him and Megyn Kelly and all that. Do you anticipate that things like this, these kinds of debates, will have that kind of energy this year?
I don't know if it'll have that kind of energy, because it doesn't have Donald Trump in the mix.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
So, I mean, that was a pretty different factor. you know, I mean, you add him to any mix, and it is a different factor. And so when, by the way, just an aside, when he says the media is really going to be out of luck when I'm out of office, he's not kidding. I mean, there is a cottage industry in Washington and around the world covering him every day.
Right.
And
I think we know why.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it generates a lot of headlines.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be the same. It will be well watched, though. And the Democrats are in search of the antidote to what they say is a Donald Trump virus.
It'll be interesting to see how aggressive it gets. With Biden being such a front runner, you would think that all eyes would be on him from the others trying to get more name recognition and make people understand who they are. Or if there'll be some sort of rules trying to be set by the Democratic Party, let's try to keep this as kind as possible so that you're not dirtied up before the election.
Yeah, you know, I think the Democrats were sensitive to the last allegations by Bernie Sanders and about Hillary Clinton, that they were putting their thumb on the scale. So the rules are actually in favor of the Bernie Sanders and the others as far as how it's going to be run. It's going to be random, the debate. It's going to be, you know, three different debate nights, and you don't know who you're standing next to. I mean, Joe Biden could be next to Andrew Yang, who can be next to Governor Inslee from Washington.
Oh, geez.
You know,
that's a visual.
Right.
But it's really going to be fascinating. And I think what's really the big question is whether Biden can survive all of this, hold the progressive side of the party together, and convince the party that he's the one that can beat Donald Trump. And you have a long way to go and a lot of potential gaffes along the way for Biden. And, you know, who knows if he can convince them.
Brett, let me be the last to welcome you to election year. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Canada does it really well. 6 weeks, they're done.
Oh,
yeah.
We do 2 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, they're very polite. You know, it's a different deal up there. All right. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You,
I'll see you tonight. Special report, Brett Baer, Fox News Channel, 5 o'clock Chicago time. Let's check in now. Kim, what's coming up at the news top of the hour?
Roe, former President Jimmy Carter hospitalized following surgery.
All right. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, it will be a conversation.
What's that?
About Game of Thrones. We'll check on what happened in the markets, but we'll also talk about, and I'm going to give plenty of time for the spoiler, at 4:40, we will be discussing, giving away White Sox tickets and discussing.
Best part of Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones moment, the goof of this week, which is a pretty wild one.
Yeah.
This one, they should have seen coming.
Definitely
should
have seen.
Coffee cup, I get why they missed it.
Yep.
This one I don't see.
This one, no.
Right.
And then the best part of all was when Aaron Rodgers blew up. There's actually shots of him. People have isolated. And yes, he was in it. And yes, he blew up.
All right. We'll talk about all of that coming your way. But first, Kim's got the news in 2 minutes. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right around 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. All right. First of all, I want to just tell you that we've got Sox tickets to give away this hour.
Nice.
Family 4-pack. Do not miss this. Very important stuff that's happening. They are taking on, don't tell me, I'll tell you.
Okay.
They are taking on the Clevelands on Thursday, May 30th, and that's a 7 o'clock start.
Nice.
Tickets at WhiteSox.com or 866-SOX-GAME if you want to buy tickets to that or many of the other Sox games.
Not Memorial Day weekend either.
No.
Which is strange.
No,
the 31st, you would normally think 31st, that's around the time of the Memorial Day weekend. Not this year.
No, it's Memorial Day's early this year. And ridiculously, therefore, so.
Yeah. But it's all good.
Yeah.
You have fun both weekends.
Not so pretty. Not so pretty. All right. Susie Sunshine's with us. Susan Schmidt. Although I just heard you on the ABC radio network. So
I did too.
Yeah. So So I would say she's ours, but she's not. She belongs to the world. All right.
Used to be just ours.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Susie Sunshine for you guys. Yes. I don't do that for anyone else.
Yeah. Like the BBC doesn't like that, actually.
Yeah. No, not really.
All right. So
it's not their sense of humor.
No, the Dow took a big poop today, 600 and something points.
How about that?
Yeah.
Not all red. Everything was red today. So,
Now, was this anticipated that the tariffs, I mean, the 600 points still doesn't, given the size of the Dow, doesn't seem like that big of a deal? Because last week, remember, it went down huge and then came back at the very end. Are people really concerned about the long-term impact here, or is this just a play on a headline?
Well, I think 600 points down is a big move. And yes, it did come back yesterday, but that's because we got, you know, reassuring commentary from both the Chinese and the U.S. administration that things were going to be okay in trade and something would, you know, be resolved and it would all be fine in the end. And we didn't get commentary like that. We got some, you know, disturbing tweets, and the market, who had been assuming that this was all going to get resolved, stopped that assumption immediately. And last week it started getting nervous about it. Today it was pretty clear there's no agreement. And in fact, China is going out saying, we've got, all right, if you're going to put tariffs on us, we're going to do the same. And so now the market's looking at it, despite the fact that we just had a really good earnings season, and businesses were talking about how they felt pretty good about the economy and how their businesses were operating. All of that is now in the past. We're focused on trade. There's no resolution. And this could cost companies. So we're going back to where we were in the fall when we started to hear, you know, hard numbers on how much this could cost. When these tariffs implement, it is going to raise the price of goods. So investors are reacting to that. They want to get out of the way. There's a flight to safety, and they're just getting out of pretty much everything across the board in equities right now. You just saw broad-based
selling. Even stuff that is not going to be impacted by the tariffs.
Stuff that's not going to be impacted by the tariffs, because people are now concerned that this is going to weigh on the economy overall. So as costs go up, profits go down, and this could impact the economy overall. If consumers have to spend more for a certain item, they're not going to be able to spend as much on something else. And so there's this negative sentiment associated with this, and also the fact that the market had pretty much come to expect that this was going to get resolved and be a non-issue. It's clearly not a non-issue, and not only do we have the trade with China coming up, but we have other trade issues that are now back in the forefront that didn't get resolved. We really don't know what the implications are around our NAFTA replacement now with SMECMA. We don't really know. We've got auto tariffs coming in from Europe. None of that has been decided yet. So we've got other issues out there, and the market is preparing for more negative tweets talking about tough stance on all of this and potentially raising the price of things and reducing profits.
Explain for us, if you will, Susan, a little bit more about how this impacts the average American consumer. We've heard things like, obviously, China sends us a lot of clothing. They send us luggage. They send us shoes. Apple iPhones are made there. There's an agricultural play here in terms of what they're buying from us. Soybeans are at the lowest level we've seen in 10 years. There's an issue here in terms of what's happening right now that we're going to start feeling it pretty soon.
Well, we are. And that's, I think, a good representation, Anna, because think of all the things that you just mentioned. It's a broad-based array of goods and that we're going to feel the impact on. And so whether it's, you know, consumer products and going to get your hair dryer or clothing or the farmers and their crops, all of these things are part of key trade with China. Things that we're either exporting there, we're a huge exporter of soybeans to China. China could easily source that from other countries. They don't need to buy it from us. So we're potentially losing a customer there. At the same time, that curling iron or hair dryer that you go to the store to get is probably made in China, and suddenly now the price on that is going to go up. And so it impacts us across the board. And that's why you're seeing this weakness in the market and concerns about the economy. We went from feeling pretty good about where the economy was. Sort of the market had backed off expectations from the Fed that there would be an interest rate decrease later this year because they felt strong enough about the market and companies' progress with earnings that that wasn't going to be necessary. The probability of the Fed coming out with a rate decrease at year end has jumped up in market statistics and is now widely expected.
Oh, because they think the economy will slow down at
right, because they're worried about the trade impact on the economy, slowing the economy down, and that the Fed will need to step in with a stimulus, which means dropping interest rates.
So I just wonder, though, you know, there's such, I don't know what the technical term is, but I think it's bullcrap that comes out of Washington and out of Beijing about this, and they seem to always go to the brink and then pull off. And they're calling this for June 1, right? The tariffs would start then.
Right.
So what is to stop them in the next 2 weeks from just saying, we're kidding?
Or this is negotiating
tactic? Absolutely nothing. Right. This goes back to it's an emotional market. People are reacting. Markets like certainty, and markets like to know where they stand. They like to see things coming. This approach to negotiation flies in the face of all of that. It doesn't give the market any certainty whatsoever. And it goes back to, you know, playing really tough. Are we maybe playing too tough? Is this going to be hurting us in the long run? So that, I think, is going to cause further disruption for the market. They could just be a game of chicken, but the market, 600 points down today in the Dow, is taking this as, you know, we've got a lot of unknowns here. Unknowns mean risk, and when you've got that much more risk, then you things are worth a little bit less because we have to take that uncertainty with it. So we're scaling back, and I think today we really saw people move out of things, especially spaces like tech, consumer, places where they felt like they had extra exposure to China. They're just getting out of the way.
All right.
Hmm.
More volatility tomorrow, you anticipate?
I really do. I don't see how, you know, I think you have to be prepared. I don't see how this calms down immediately unless both administrations do an about-face. And I don't think that's going to happen. Remember that the market coming in today was still up about 15% year-to-date. That's a big number. Mm-hmm. And so when you're dealing from up 15%, you know, versus a negative number, I think you probably feel a little bit more powerful in your position to negotiate. You feel a little bit better that your economy can handle it. So I feel like perhaps the administration is going to stay with this hardline stance. They certainly haven't softened their language any. And it looks like China's coming right back and matching it.
Right. You saw the president tweet this morning that China will be hurt very badly if you don't make a deal. And then we learned the news kind of leaked out of, like, I think Kudlow leaked it out over the weekend that, you know, there wasn't really a deal in place. And then China will be in a bad situation if they retaliate. Boom, the news hit this morning that they're retaliating.
They're retaliating. And they're just barely retaliating. This could get worse. So they could up the ante on both sides. You know, China, I think, is showing, look, it's a two-way street. So we're prepared to talk to you. But if you're going to act like this, we're going to act like this, too. And you're going to get a lot more back and forth. So, yes, be prepared for volatility. I don't think we have any real resolution here. We have until June 1st for this game to continue. And it's a lot of posturing. But the market is taking it as, you know, a very emotional response. The market is taking it as risk. And why go through all that volatility if you don't have to? A lot of people who are investing for the shorter term are just stepping to the sidelines.
Mm. All right. Susan Schmidt, Aviva Investors. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
I had a conversation, you know, it was Mother's Day yesterday.
Yeah. Did you get to see your mom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go, Ro?
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were having, you know, family get-togethers yesterday.
Ours is pretty big, yeah.
Yeah. The conversation, as you know, especially when you get the generations together now, really does turn to politics.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was telling me about how awful these tariffs are. It's a very great idea, what he's doing. But this is going to be very bad for the markets. And I thought, oh,
so
my God, this is really, I was trying to figure out how, you know, sort of, you know, senior citizens live on their investments or whatever. People,
right. Fixed income.
That's a big number for Donald Trump's, you know, base right there of people. And I thought, how are they going to take this? Because this is, you know, and this is something that especially Republicans and conservatives, you know, have been arguing against for years. I mean, they're not a single one of those, Kudlow or Stephen Moore, any of these people ever thought that a tariff was a good idea, ever. right? Now it's the president's idea, so it has to be a good idea because he's a madman. So he can say whatever he wants. And I'm watching to figure out if anything, again, this goes to the whole point that no matter what he does or says, he won't lose support, which is it's brilliant, but it could really be a problem. Well, is it other? You know?
So she wanted to support the president, but she needed to point out that she's a little worried underneath the surface.
I think that's kind of where it was, yeah.
So, and you said nothing, right, Ro? You just stayed quiet and wanted dutiful son. And
honest
just
to God.
Love you, Mom, and happy Mother's Day. Give her a kiss.
somewhere in there. I don't know. I didn't say anything. Let's put it that way. I kind of just looked at her, and I was trying to, you know, and as I was looking at her, I kept thinking to myself, should I say something? You know, it's like in your head, you're like, I could jump in here, and I could say, well, that doesn't really make any sense, and just sort of make the point that Larry Kudlow and all the other people that she, you know, has loved from CNBC and other places over the years.
Nice dresser, Larry Kudlow.
Oh, I love it.
Great suits.
I personally really like Larry, but look at Larry. Larry took the cardiological bullet for the president already. The man had a heart attack. It was so crazy what's going on there.
Poor guy.
I mean, it really is. Mm. What they were putting him through. And he did, and then he came back and he's doing, I mean, these guys are dutiful. They want to do, I think they all want to keep their Mar-a-Lago memberships, but they
don't want to lose that.
Right. You know, but it is what it is. And it's sort of like, I mean, there isn't a single, anybody who calls themselves a conservative knows that this is wrong.
Hmm.
Right? Unless you're just calling yourself a conservative. You're really not. You're just a Trump guy. And that's fine. If you want to be, you know, anybody can be whatever they want. That's the beauty of America.
And you can see how China is being fairly strategic with its retaliatory tariffs,
sure.
Finding those states that help boost Trump to the presidency, Midwestern states, farmers, states that really, really helped him. And so when you start trying to take those shots against agriculture, they know what they're doing.
Right.
And more to come, potentially, as you just heard Susan Schmidt tell us.
Yeah, and Brazil and Argentina couldn't be happier because they are gigantic soybean producers.
Come over here.
And they can get their product to market. And now you're creating a trade route that a higher traffic trade route that didn't exist before. So moving those economies, moving those shipping lanes, moving all those things away, there becomes an economy of scale.
Hard to reverse
at some point. Right. It just becomes harder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things to think about that economists who, you know, used to have a spine and should actually have the testicular fortitude to step up and go, this is wrong. I get what you're trying to do. I get that China's a cheater and all that. This is not the way. And I know in the past, I mean, the argument is in the past, everybody's tried to handle this in any other way. So we're just going to have to come to a crushing blow. Well, if they crush us while we crush them, that's the reason we haven't been able to stop them before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we don't want them stealing our intellectual property. That's true. But there are other ways to handle that. Tariff is not a good one. I'm sorry. And then having a tariff with the Europeans? My God, those are our friends! Those are our friends!
Thanks for reminding us.
I mean, I like French wine, all right? I do.
I know you do. That's going to be a problem for you, Ro. Think
and
of the hardship.
Italian wine. I really like Italian wine.
Mm-hmm.
I like olive
that
oil.
Too.
I like olives.
Mm-hmm. Great things. Great contributions from our friends in Italy.
And Greece. And France. I gotta go. Kim, what's going on at the bottom of the hour?
Charges have been filed against an alleged hit-and-run driver in St. Charles.
Oh, my turn. Traffic being brought to you by Lauren is just sitting there. Lauren's got that look on her face like, all right, idiot.
Talking to your mom. I just looked.
Yes, right. She gave me that look. Yeah. The traffic is being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Okay, kids. Coming up, and Lauren shall lead us in a conversation of the Game of Thrones.
A lot to talk about.
She is our head geek on the program.
That's going on my resume.
Is there a name for Game of Thrones geeks, for super fans?
I thought Throners.
I don't know. I've never actually heard a term.
Okay.
That's because no one wants to say it out loud to you.
She's a Throner?
Those are what people are all saying behind your back.
Well, that's mean.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. She's such a throner.
Call me what you want. I don't care. Doesn't bother me.
Is got
the,
geek.
Is that you're, the geek director from the Rogue Con show?
She's a got geek, is what she is. Shelly is. And there was an unspeakable. So I'm just giving you a little bit of a spoiler alert. I got a family 4-packet tickets to the White Sox, but I also have this conversation because there was. Now, the coffee cup didn't bother me so much. It was goofy. I didn't understand why it would happen.
I didn't notice it the first time. It was just the kind of the aftermath, right?
But there was a miss yesterday that was significant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a significant plot twist miss that they should have gotten right.
Yep.
So we'll explain all of that coming your way. But first, Kim Gordon standing by. She's got WGN News in 2.
Too.
You ever get like totally taken away by the music?
Gets you kind of excited for the new episode.
Isn't that right, Kevin? Doesn't the music just drive you nuts?
I could run through a brick wall right now. So excited.
This is Kevin's favorite part of the
Lauren
program.
Lauren looks stressed. It's like, I don't know if she's worried about what's happening next or the pressure that this segment brings to her with all the details we asked for.
It's just still from watching last night's episode.
You still have issues.
Yeah.
Good or bad? I see a lot of negative reaction over the past couple of weeks from Game of Thrones people.
People go crazy, and these are such good episodes. They're so amazing, but they find the smallest thing to go nuts.
Have the standards just been set too high for you Throners?
I mean, I still enjoy it, and I get why some people are upset, but at the same time, it's such a great show that I think that everyone's just used to perfection, and they're not seeing it.
Right.
In their minds.
They've become jaded with the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yes. People want it to be even better than it has been, which is an almost impossible thing to have happen.
Classic Throners.
Yeah. We've got to. And I think some of us are also being critical of it at the end because we're getting mean to it because we know we're saying goodbye. And so it's
get
just,
better.
I never cared about you in the first place.
Right.
Well, many people wanted a more bitter end for the Queen.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. I have a theory about this. Again, spoiler alert.
Right, but it's the next day.
It is the next day, and we'll get to the unspeakable continuity error. But I'm not sure she's dead. Are you sure she's dead?
No, I'm not.
Uh-oh. There you go.
Did that dragon come back to life yet? The one that they dumped in the ocean?
No, that's dead. But and I was wrong about that.
Now he admits it.
Well, we don't need that. We didn't need that dragon. We did okay without that dragon.
Which honestly, in a vision that Bran has forever ago, he sees a dragon shadow flying over King's Landing, and it's just one. So it really played out the way that was shown.
This is why.
Did we
I'm
know
telling
this? Have
this
we seen this in an episode, or did you need to read the book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't remember.
No, she just is. She's encyclopedic. She's encyclopedic. It's like it is. She has an absorption capability that is unbelievable.
Uh huh.
So
totally.
What do we make that you think? So, do you think that the queen is dead?
I thought so. Did you think so? At point?
I don't know for sure. I don't know, but I can definitely envision them keeping her alive. Because again, it was not really the end that you would expect for her.
People wanted more. They wanted more fiery, brutal end because she's been such an evil character that she's deserved worse.
Yeah.
So
and
they
she,
were disappointed.
She became really weak at the end. She became the opposite of who she was in her final moments, if they were her final moments, real quick.
Exactly.
If they were, she had a good run.
Not really.
Well, I mean, if you're a queen, you probably had a good run.
Right, so no, like all her kids were killed, and you know,
and she was with her brother, and I don't know.
A texter saying a frickin' castle fell on her. She's dead. But I don't know. But I don't know. I didn't see the. You know, for a second, I thought Arya was dead. She wasn't dead. She's not dead. She's dusty.
Very.
Dusty as hell. Dusty and a little bloody.
Okay. Well, not to mention, and Jaime got stabbed how many times in pretty. Oh, severe areas,
yes.
And yet still managed to make it all the way to Cersei.
I left him for dead, too. I thought he was dead.
Oh, there was a guy who got stabbed in the middle of the forehead last night and still walked away.
Well, that's because he's like half Frankenstein.
Yeah, I don't know what goes on with any of this. Anyway, the point is, we had clearly an unspeakable mistake.
Oh, a big whoopsie.
Okay, so let me explain this to Kev. All right, yeah. So there's, all right. there's the evil queen, right?
Is she the one who just died?
She's the one that just died, but she's got a brother.
Twin brother.
Twin brother, who is also her lover and the father of her children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's sick, but they really are very pretty when they're making out together mm-hmm. on the screen. Yeah. So that's if you can get past it on Pornhub, you can get past it on Game of Thrones. So the idea here is that he, at some point, lost his hand.
What happened to his hand?
So, okay, back in, what is this, the end of season one or season two, and he's being held prisoner. He basically gets his hand cut off by helping save Brienne. Convincing guys not to rape her.
Yeah. We like her.
So
why was he in prison if his wife's the queen?
He wasn't in prison. He was just
being held prisoner.
Oh, like he got key. Okay.
Because Lannisters have a lot of money, and these people would trade him.
He's a Lannister, okay?
Oh, I didn't know that. Right. Now that you said Lannister,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I just had a Lannister Oreo cookie. The Game of Thrones was being passed around by our producer,
Jeff.
I have
the white
knight
guy.
Okay.
Yeah, basically all you need to know is these captors cut off his hand because they convinced him not to... Jamie convinced them not to rape Brienne.
Yeah, so that was that. Yeah,
right or left hand?
It was his right hand.
Yeah, his sword hand,
which would have been a problem for a sword, but it turned out it worked out pretty good. And he put like a gold, I don't know, copper gold. What do you think it was? I don't know, it was a metal of some sort, gold. And he was pretty good at hitting people with it. It was that was good for the last number of seasons. But anyway, so he's been missing this hand for, you know, the better part of the show, mm-hmm. right? At least half the show, he's been missing his hand.
Uh-huh.
And then last night, somehow, some way, in a scene at the very end, right before the castle fell on him,
mm-hmm.
his hand was back. You could see he hugs his sister, who's his lover, who's his baby mama,
uh-huh.
but they're really good looking, and you see his right hand.
Wow.
What? Come on.
Maybe she brought it back with some magic spirit or something. Isn't that a thing in Game of Thrones?
Now, how did they not get that part right?
That one does seem like a huge misstep because that's so central to the character.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, though. Again, I didn't notice it.
I didn't either.
At that moment when it was happening. It was like a very critical moment. It was only those two on screen and then fire around them in the building. But I didn't see it.
What if he had a Starbucks cup in the right hand? That would have been a double win.
Then you would have known. Then we would have thought there's something fishy about this.
Something's going on here.
Newspaper. Or his cell phone. Right, his iPhone.
He's
texting. Hold on, I got it. Hold on. I got to get a selfie here. This is our last scene together. Hold on. Yeah.
So has HBO come out yet and explained?
I don't think so. I haven't seen anything on that.
Just makes me wonder who's been editing these last few
episodes.
Right. Some guy who's probably been overworked.
Really?
Yeah, it looks good to me. Just hit it. We're good.
It's several years to get this done, people. Come on.
That is true, right? Because this has been in production. Did they shoot this at the same time that they were shooting the last season?
That I can't remember.
No, I'm being told no. Now, oh my God, you think we got geeks?
All around you.
Oh my God, the people in the control room. No, are you kidding
me?
Come on, moron!
Get it right.
But how do they miss something like this? I mean, don't you figure they'd watch the episode like 100 times before they say, okay, this is good, we're approving it?
Well, not to mention, I would think that if he's in character, he's always going to have it on. Why wouldn't he have
very method.
Taking it off?
I see. That's very interesting.
Yeah, why would it ever be off when he's shooting a scene?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Something's fishy.
Yeah.
Don't they just CGI that thing out?
It could have. You know, and now they have for the replays, they've CGI'd his hand out it now. Did they make the fix like they had to do with the coffee cup yet?
I haven't heard they made a fix yet. I haven't seen anything.
Because they took the coffee cup out.
Yeah, they did.
Right now, and you know, this is all eating into the profits. I just want to say, as a person in the entertainment business, I know how this goes. This, you know, right now, it's supposed to just be green arrows coming in. Money coming in, all the expenses done, right? You don't have to pay anybody anymore. Now, all of a sudden, you got to go back. You got to, you know, they got to pull out these individual scenes. They got to recompile the thing. You got to have, there's probably 50 people who have to work on scrubbing a coffee cup
uh-huh.
out of a scene. And they're like, you know, who's paying for this?
A listener texts in, says it wasn't in the episode, just a promo clip.
It was an official promo photo promoting this at last, this episode, I guess.
So not in the actual episode.
It wasn't in the actual
episode.
Even though that
scene. Can you fact check it for us? Can you call your Game of Thrones sources?
So that would make more sense.
But even that, why would they use that picture for a promo, or, you know, that scene for a promo, knowing that more likely plenty of people are going to notice that in a small snippet rather than a whole 80-minute plus episode?
Yeah, you wouldn't notice it.
Do we know how long the final episode's going to be?
That was like an hour and a half. I mean, look at it.
I think what's the deal with Aaron Rodgers? Did 20? He get killed or what?
Yeah, he was in it, right? So all the Packer fans were tweeting it out, but he had a really ugly death. I mean, Cersei got off easy compared to Aaron Rodgers.
So now I was looking for the whole thing in the battle scene, right?
I was totally
looking. I didn't notice it.
Aaron Rodgers.
Could you tell it was him?
Well, when people isolated it and told you it was him, but no, there were so many people running through the palace grounds that were trying to get away from the dragon and the craziness and the bloodshed and the battle, that he just was one of those people. And then he ran down a corridor by himself, and that's when
he got that bad.
I didn't recognize him because he was in the home white jersey, and so it was, you know, it's like he just sort of fit in with all the other people running around in white, like tablecloths or whatever those people were wearing.
He didn't have on the red jersey, don't touch me, for practice.
Right, the red vest. Right, hold on. Hall of Famer coming through. Hall of Famer. Don't touch him.
It's number 12.
So he got killed by like a flame ball, right?
Yeah, he just like got engulfed in flames.
I would have liked to see a little more vicious. Kind of like how you guys were rooting for the queen.
They should have had him eaten by a bear. Come on.
The dragon, every once in a while the dragon eats somebody too. I prefer the dragon. I mean, and then, you know, they killed the bald guy right at the beginning. I mean, there's a lot going on here.
The eunuch?
Yeah.
Is Jon Snow still alive?
Yeah, he's alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's alive. Now, the problem we have here is we don't know exactly what... They have set up a very good narrative for the end here.
There's
a big question. Because it turns out that the mother of all dragons and the first of her name... God. She got mad last night. She was on her dragon, and instead of that should be an expression. Now she's on the dragon. Oh, is she on the dragon? So she gets on the dragon, and she goes. You know, she flies through, and she kills all these innocent people, which they were telling her, please don't do it, because if they give up, they're going to give up, and then you will be the head of all of these people, and you will have spared them, and they will be yours forever.
Yes.
And you'll be the queen, and you'll be the mother of all dragons. You'll be the first of your name. People will love you. You're beautiful, and everything is going to be great.
And this is how you said you would rule. This is how you promised everyone.
Right.
And they surrendered. They did surrender by ringing the bell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important thing, because she just didn't care.
Right, she didn't care. She has set everybody on
fire.
She
also channeled her dad and became the Mad King, but the Mad Queen.
Wait, is all this good or bad? I'm so lost.
I don't know. So now we got Jon Snow, who realizes that didn't go well. He's alive. He ran out the back door. And then, or actually it was the front door, but they'd already blown up the front door. So he runs back outside. And now they're all reamassing. And now she's gone, you know, she's gone dragon crap crazy. And so now that it becomes an issue of... Now, does she go to kill him? Does she go to kill everybody else? Who's going to be in her court? What happens to Peter Dinklage? We love him. Didn't he win an Oscar?
He did.
Where do we go from here?
What does he do in the show? What's his role?
He's the hand.
The hand that the guy lost?
No.
Separate hand.
Separate hand.
He's not gold.
No, he's the hand to the queen in this case. He's like an advisor. He is the brother. He is the
brother of the
imp
hand.
Brother of the guy who lost his hand and the hot queen that had where they had the babies and the sex and all that, and then they died when the castle fell on him.
It's a lot.
Are you good?
No.
Are you good? All right. There you go.
Well, I mean, now
there's your Game of Thrones moment right there.
You just know that Arya, in my mind, is she's going after the queen now, because she was furious to see what was happening, and then she tried to help this woman and her daughter.
Can I give my prediction?
Yeah.
The Arya. Mm-hmm. She's the one who killed the...
The White Walker?
Yeah, so what if she becomes the queen?
I think she will.
Yeah,
she doesn't want to be.
I think that's the answer.
She doesn't want to be.
She says that's not her thing.
Because she doesn't want to be, she has to. Okay?
Right. See, sometimes you have to do. Sometimes
to do
heavy is the head. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I did get a little bit of a headache when I saw the theories about her meeting a white horse and then riding off on the white horse.
Yeah.
There are like 1,000 theories about what that means, and I just thought it meant that she was leaving the castle.
It means she's on heroin, is what it means. That's the one thing that we know.
Okay.
Well, and that wasn't the only white horse. The little girl was carrying a white horse doll as well.
Oh.
So it is symbolic. They're doing it for a purpose.
No way.
Wow. mind blown. All right. Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19 rips me off for a family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox take on the Indians on Thursday, May 30th. Tickets are available at whitesox.com or 866-SOX-GAME. Tune in every Monday after 4 p.m. for your chance to win four tickets to a White Sox baseball game. Good luck, Kim Gordon. What's going on?
President Trump has some business advice for U.S. manufacturers after slapping new tariffs on China.
It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Okay, in the 5 o'clock hour...
Mm-hmm.
Let me just apprise you of what's coming up. We got a top five, of course. And then there is the great news that a judge has not allowed the Robert Kraft video to be seen publicly, which is really, really, really good news. But there is a detail that has just now emerged.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
About the transaction.
Mm-hmm. Another troubling detail.
Yeah. What's really interesting here is that there are people down in the law enforcement community in Palm Beach County, Florida,
mm-hmm.
that really, and I guess it was a federal thing too, right? Were the feds involved in this at some level too?
Yeah, they were at one point. In fact, aren't they the ones that supposedly put the cameras in?
Yeah. That they really want to get some people in this case because a very embarrassing detail about the transaction has just come out. And we will mm-hmm. share that with you. And as a man, I can explain. I will.
Okay, you can explain it. Because I think most people would hear this news and go, uh-huh.
Yeah, I think I can explain this. So I will try to explain the what happened. What had happened was in this transaction. Because it's interesting. Also, the Dark Side of Doris Day. I've compiled a list of things. You know, Doris Day.
Impossible.
No, I mean, a beloved figure.
Sure.
Sort of. There was something about Doris Day that, she never rose to the level of, oh my God, Doris Day was just the best for me. Like,
she had that
so many
squeaky
others.
Clean image.
Right. But she wasn't. That was the damnedest thing. And then, you know, and all these, you know, and I know she's dead, but she had a great life, 97 years.
Oh, yeah.
An amazing life, right?
Think about what she did, you know?
Kev, what'd she have? She had a good run. Thank you, Kevin.
He's like, what?
I know nothing about Doris Day.
Well, you know she had a good run because everybody had a good run.
Well, I don't know. Based off what you've been saying about her today, I wasn't sure if she really had a great run. I was like, I got all this dirt on Doris Day.
He's sort of rewriting history here, is what he's doing.
No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you the history that everyone else is afraid to tell you.
It's been kept under wraps for 97 years.
She had a good run.
That's what I'm looking for right there. So, I mean, you know, she was in show business for 50 years. You know, things happen in show business.
It's true.
We're going to do a little, you know, sort of behind the music of Doris Day.
Did you really find stuff?
Yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah. It was not hard to find.
Huh. I mean, I know she was married
four times. You put a private investigator on this role?
I did.
Or is this from your own personal research?
I said to our producer, Jeff Carlin, the long-suffering Jeff Carlin.
Yeah. This was a great moment when you did this.
I walked in today, I go, get me dirt on Doris Day.
And he's like, what? She just died.
I said, I always wanted to say that.
why? You're not invited to my funeral, Ro.
Oh,
if you're going to do this.
Seriously. I'm just saying, I would, because it was like everybody, the first thing I woke up this morning and there was like just nothing but you know, push notifications that she was dead. And all I could think to myself was, isn't she already dead? That was the first thing I thought.
Mm-hmm.
She already said it.
And then it was, you know, in Fox News, Fox News, like, said anybody who, you know, from that era, you know, they lionize them. And I'm like, you know, it's like, these were, I mean, the true story is better. We all make mistakes.
It's some larger.
Get me dirt on Doris Day.
I know, poor Jeff. I was like, what? She just died.
Jeff's Googling dirt on Doris Day.
And he's feeling really awful. Right. He actually started quietly sobbing right. when he was doing it. Strangest thing. I don't know.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, Tavlantis.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
All right, the president's going to increase tariffs to $200 billion more in Chinese imports. And it has manufacturers worried. The Dow down 2.3% today as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And there is even now the chief economic advisor to the president has to admit that this is going to be passed along to the consumers, not necessarily good for the American economy. But the president, speaking from the Oval Office today with some other world leader who looks scared to be sitting there with him, said, hey, if you're in the United States,
open your division or open up your product, have it made in this country as opposed to made in China. Or if you don't want to do that, and that would be the ideal, that's what it used to be a long time ago, when we were smart, when we had an economy that was really something very special.
Well, didn't you just say this is the very special economy? And why then did you make your ties in China? Right? The Trump wear was all made in China. Half of Ivanka's stuff is made in China and Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why?
Ivanka was made in China.
Yes.
No, I don't know that.
I think that's true, though. She does appear to be something out of Westworld, that is for sure. I think part of it was made in Miami.
She does have a robot vibe.
So what, come on. Seriously? I mean, I don't think I'm an idiot. I might be, but I don't think so. I get that the Chinese have been stealing intellectual property. They've been cheating on their trade deals anyway. I get all that. It's got to stop.
Right.
But punishing us with tariffs is not the way to do it. There are other ways to do it.
What's worked, though, so far? That's
nothing.
That's the issue.
I mean, the other way, I mean, if he really wants to get, but this idea that a tariff is going to crush them is, he will not have the president at the end of the day, he does talk a big game, tough guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he gives in a lot. And my sense is that he gave in before, right? Remember we closed down the government? I'm giving in. And then it was like, oh, okay, I quit. When it didn't work for him. And you're going to see the same thing happen here.
Well, you see China will feel that weakness, and I'm not sure that works out well for us either, to sort of make the big play and
China doesn't
talk
care.
The big talk, and then say, okay, we're just kidding, we're going to go back to it.
Xi is president for life. He doesn't care. He's got the rest of his life to worry about.
Play on
this.
The weakness is the point I'm making.
Right, but if there's pain on in his economy, he does not care. I mean, they are strategic. And all he's trying to do is get them to stop the intellectual property. We got bigger problems with them, right? In the Middle East and North and East Africa and other places where they are, very, very, very involved. South America now. Think they're going to build Venezuela as a new China South.
Gee.
China West. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Howard Stern believes that he made Donald Trump. And I don't think he's wrong about that. I remember many a time Howard Stern talking to Donald Trump, sometimes while Donald Trump was in bed with Melania. And then he'd put Melania on the phone to talk about what a great lover he was.
Howard Stern was the best at that, getting people to admit and talk about the kinds of things you would never admit or talk about in any other interview.
Right.
And I guess it had the opportunity to make you more human. I think it also...
Well, Donald Trump didn't care about that. He just wanted to be famous. Back then, this is years ago, right? He just wanted
to
be
make
famous.
Headlines.
Right.
But wasn't he making a lot of headlines on his own?
Well, that's how he made headlines, was by doing stuff like this. And then, with Melania, I mean, putting her through it, and she played along. Yes, Donald, the greatest lover ever had. Trust me, he's okay down there. It's like, this is so weird, man. It was just weird. So, here is what Howard Stern says today to George Stephanopoulos.
Do you feel that in some way you helped make him president?
Absolutely. Because Donald would come on my show. I mean, look.
Does it make you feel bad or good?
Well, look, I did not vote for Donald Trump. I go into great lengths in this book, and I think people will be interested in this. Hillary Clinton you know, like in Moby Dick, I was chasing her. She was my obsession. I wanted to see Hillary Clinton win.
Wait till Trump finds out about this.
The turning point in my relationship with Donald was he did ask me to speak at the convention, and I had to say no. And
were you tempted at all?
Well, since I was a Hillary supporter, for a minute I thought, well, I'll go up and endorse Hillary, which would have been a great moment. He was always very nice to me. I've had dinner at Mar-a-Lago many times. And that's why I couldn't even believe that Donald really even wanted this all to work out for him. Because if you go to Mar-a-Lago, it's like a piece of heaven. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You're right. They didn't want to give up the Mar-a-Lago trips.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely true. I don't think he does. I don't think Melania was crying the night of the election because of that. Right? Because their life was really very good. And think of what she had to put up with to get that life. And this is now a moment of, you know, it's tough. And let's just face it. He's making this all up as he's going along, right? Even if the closest advisors say, well, you know, a lot of this is, like, you know, sort of off the cuff. So,
well, the point he's making, too, is that he talked about how he's pro-abortion on the Howard Stern show. He also admitted that his attraction to his daughter. I mean, there were lots of things that came out there that became fodder against the president in a lot of ways, too. So I'm not sure he totally helped his electability, but he certainly had very revealing interviews with the president.
We'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, Kim Gordon, what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Who would win the presidential election in Illinois if it were held today? A new poll has the answer.
Lawrence Traffic, brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Coming out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day, it's this Tuesday. That's tomorrow. You can see Tom Skilling, his presentation, followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available at whitesox.com/WGN.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Saturday Night Live, cold open. It was a riff on Meet the Press, in which Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Susan Collins were respectively asked, is there anything you would stop support, if there's anything the president did that would make you stop supporting him?
Robert Mueller testifies before Congress and says he believes Trump committed obstruction of justice. Do you still support him?
Well, we need a leader that's willing to do what he's got to do to win.
That's absolutely right. See, the best way to uphold the law is to be above it, Chuck.
What if he says Trump colluded with the Russians?
Well, I'd have to write a strongly worded email and send it straight to my draft folder.
Checking in at
number 2.
For one night, Bill Nye the Science Guy became Bill Nye the Uncensored Prophet of Doom, thanks to John Oliver. At the close of a comprehensive fact check debunking some of the myths about the Green New Deal on Sunday's Last Week with John Oliver, he introduced Nye for this demonstration.
Safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the f*** up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, mother f***.
Wow, that's amazing.
Different kind of science class.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. All right, and finally.
Number 1.
The song begins. You speak and I hear violence. It's magic.
Doris Day. The beautiful blonde whose sunny screen presence and silken singing voice guaranteed box office and record charting hits from the 40s through the 60s has died. Born Doris Mary Ann Kappelhoff, the daughter of a Cincinnati music teacher and homemaker, the crystal-voiced pop soprano changed her name in the day when, as a teen, she began singing on the radio after appearances of big bands of Barney Rapp and Bob Crosby. She joined Les Brown's band and had her first hit with Sentimental Journey.
I gotta take that sentimental journey, sentimental journey home.
In 1959, she was paired for the first time with Rock Hudson in the racy romantic comedy Pillow Talk.
Hello?
Ma'am, this is Rex Stetson.
Oh, hello.
I hope I didn't wake you up.
Oh, not at all.
Well, I was just lying here thinking about your generous offer and all. To call you in case there was anything I needed. Well, I need to go out to dinner tomorrow night, and I sure would enjoy seeing a friendly face across the table. Of course, you're going to be busy tomorrow night.
Oh, no, I always keep tomorrow night open. I mean, I hadn't planned a thing. Oh, I'd love to have dinner with you.
Doris Day was 97.
The top five at five.
Con Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. You got the Kevin Powell on the sports. You got the Lauren Lapko on the traffic, and many, many, many thoughts of the and corrections in case there in case any are needed to be made. Not that we've ever made a mistake on the show.
Nope.
But in case
quickly
we do,
corrected.
We now have our own fact checker at all times. Who's available to make sure that we're on the straight and the narrow. And then, of course, you got the Kim Gordon maining all the headlines and all the news and all the news that's fit to print. Okay. So, Kevin shared with us a little bit earlier the news that a judge in Florida is now ruling that the Robert Kraft video, the video of his alleged perpetration of a crime of soliciting help from a masseuse in a semi-sexual manner will never see the light of day because it was obtained illegally. Because of the process, the legal process by which...
It seems like such a technicality. Something like the way they installed the cameras or used the cameras, some process about the cameras was not exactly according to the letter of the law.
Yeah, let's go with that. Whatever works to keep this video off the streets.
What? Right.
I
whatever
mean,
this
we're all
is.
Thankful. I get it. I'm just saying it just seems a little, you know.
We're gonna make up this law right now to make sure that we don't have to see it.
Sometimes the courts do that, right? Have you noticed that the courts will sometimes choose to just do something that may not. They're going to find a technicality because they just know this is the right thing to do.
Prosecutors still say they're going to appeal, though.
Oh.
So it's
why?
Not over.
Oh, my God.
Get a hold of them.
You know, what is wrong with the prosecutors down there? The prosecutors, well, I was going to say that they have a, you can't say that about this particular story, but they certainly are intent upon creating a problem for Robert Kraft. And I do not understand why they want to do that.
They're saying the warrant that they obtained to install the cameras was legal and aimed at stopping a felony level prostitution operation.
Just give it a rest already, Jupiter Police Department.
Yeah. It's okay now. We got it. Okay. We look at Robert Kraft. We know what we got, right? He's a 90-year-old guy who dresses like a 14-year-old. I get it. I understand. He's an NFL owner. He's a FOD. He's a friend of Donald's. He's, a Mar-a-Lago guy. I get it. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Billionaire.
That's what he is. To America. It's not against the law to be, one of those guys in America. However, technically, it is against the law to pay for sexual gratification at a massage parlor. But that's why people invented the massage parlor. Let me tell you something. Even in Game of Thrones, when they were going to massage parlors, it's just brothels. Brothels. We knew it. Right? Now, as it turns out, there is a very strange twist in this story.
And you say you can explain this.
I can. I want you to read the story, and then I will explain it.
Yeah, because this seems a little weird at the very least. So apparently, Robert Kraft was driven to the Orchids of Asia Day Spa by a very close friend. He happens to be a fellow billionaire, made his money in dairy, and he was in a Bentley, and he drove the Robert Kraft to the Orchids of Asia, walked in with him, but he did not partake in any massage services.
Yeah.
He left the establishment and waited outside for 40 minutes until Robert Kraft, but he did witness his friend turning over several $100 bills to the people there and then waited outside. But why does he wait outside? Why does he need a driver to take him?
Because the guy was getting a free ride on a private plane to the AFC Championship game.
Oh, this was on the way to the AFC?
That's why. This is your buddy. Now, this is the conversation with buddies. That's the crazy thing. I'm not saying I've ever been a party to this kind of conversation, but I just know that when guys are like, you just sort of see Robert Kraft going, listen, I got to stop over by Orchids of Asia on the way to the airport. I get a thing for a second.
And does the friend know exactly what's going on then at that point?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, you're going to I'm taking a buddy to a massage parlor. I pretty know what's going on. Oh, you got a crick in your neck? What do you need? Yeah, no, I got to get adjusted. You know, I mean, I don't think it was ever a conversation. Oh, it might have been, though.
Just sort before of inferred and implied.
Yeah, it might have been. Oh, you're not going to believe about Ming Fu Hulu. Wow. Soft as hands. I don't know, but I just know that it was like, give me 5 minutes, I'll be right out. It's something.
It's 40.
Yeah, you know how long it probably takes them to get dressed?
Well it takes true. 20 minutes for the pill to kick in. So you got that going.
This takes friendship to a whole nother level.
No.
Yeah, but if you're
would
a
you
guy, like, you're not
me?
Really.
I don't know.
Like,
I'd drive you to a massage parlor that's not so, you know, real. Have you do illegal things and give you a ride
right.
back.
If he drove him to the bank and he robbed it, wouldn't he kind of be complicit there? Isn't he?
Accessory.
The wheel man?
The wheel man to the massage parlor? Doesn't work like that.
I don't know. Can you be a wheel man to a handy? I don't know. Is that? I don't understand if that's legal or not. I think.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. If you're doing something you know is sort of shady and really shady and perhaps even illegal, then do you have your buddy drive you to it when you really don't need that sort of assistance?
If you're a jag like Robert Kraft, you do. Yeah. Listen, you're going to drive me. If you're flying on my plane, you're going to drive me. It's something along that line. I mean, I don't think this is the strangest of all things. Now, but Robert Kraft paid, or he didn't make the dairy dude pay, right?
No, I don't think so. No, he didn't pay. He just watched his friend hand over, I think, several $100 bills.
I call him the Cream King because he drives me everywhere. You know what I mean? It's weird. It is. I mean, it is weird, but it's totally explainable. That's the thing. It's guys.
So he did get on the plane with them then?
I'm just assuming.
They belong to the same country club, and they had dinner the night before, and they seemed like very close buds.
Yeah. And there's a guy, right? Hey, listen, it's okay. So this is, okay. This is a deal where you are, the guy, like, you're going to go play golf. I don't know, were they playing in Mar-a-Lago? Does it sound?
I think, they belong to a different country. Palm Beach Country Club.
Oh, Palm Beach Country
and
Club.
And Belmont Country Club.
Oh,
both of those. Well, the one's in Massachusetts and the other one is obviously in Palm Beach.
Yes.
They both belong to them.
Okay, so he's driving him to play golf. That's what he is. Listen, I'll pick you up. I'm the dairy king. I'm going to pick you up. Where we have balls in the air at 8:30. On the table by 12:30. And that's so he's picking him up and taking him to play golf. That happens in these kinds of things, but you know, not both want to drive. You know, they got you drive.
But do you make the stop then, or you? I mean, don't you use that before?
Well, I think the stop was after, right? It's either after golf or before they went to flying to because on the Saturday he went after golf, and on the Sunday he went before he took the flight to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So either way, one guy just said, well, I'll drive. This is often, you know, with billionaires, this is often a mistake to go, I'm going to be the one who drives.
Apparently
like,
so. I had no idea.
Bentleys and, the whole thing. And then guys also, you know, there's also guys like that, like the Dairy King over here, the Cream King. He's a guy that is wanting to show off his new Bentley, too. I just got this new Bentley. You're not going to believe it. It's great. I don't really care about it. Drop me off at Orchids of Asia. I've seen cars before.
It's also weird. Why did he stay there for 40 minutes? Why didn't he go, like, get a coffee?
Waited outside.
Because he's a kiss ass. Because this is the guy that... Maybe he's a... The guy's from the Boston area. He's a Patriots fan.
Sounds like he is.
Yeah.
Sort of knows him in Massachusetts and hangs out with him in Palm Beach as well.
Right. So he's a guy that's a huge Patriots fan. He likes to brag to his friends. And he hangs out with Robert Kraft. So the only way to hang out with Robert Kraft is to get driven to and from the massage parlor. That is it? It is kind of, and it is sort of completely as obvious as it appears.
Oh, that just—it just seems such a weird fact. Fun fact: the Dairy King's son is dating Bethany Frankel of Real Housewives of New York. So he's got that going.
Oh my God!
Lucky him.
But the video being suppressed—I know none of us want to see it, and I get that—that we think that it would be leaked and that everyone would see it, and that it was not exactly the thing you want to see.
Mm-mm.
But I think this is a really big deal for him because this is suppressed as evidence in the case, not just being publicly released. So his chances of this being dismissed are like huge right now.
Yeah.
Like it could be just over with a little slap on the wrist. Remember everyone said
that was extra.
I knew you'd do that. Like, I was trying so carefully to carefully pick my words.
Is that
it's
right
impossible.
Up here. Right up here. Slap on wrist. $5. That's the only thing that is $5 at the Orchids of Asia, by the way. All right.
So anyway, good day for Robert Kraft.
All right. I got dirt on Doris Day coming your way.
Hell of a transition there. What are you going to tell us after we just went to that story?
Probably should have done them in reverse order.
I've got Doris Day dirt here. Everybody's talking about how great Doris Day is. Well, I know, I have the real secrets right here.
Oh, the truth needs to come out, damn it, about Doris Day.
97 years later.
America needs to know.
I'm going
to
tell it now.
America's sweetheart, mine.
All right. Kim, what's coming up in the news?
One celebrity pleads guilty today in the college cheating scandal.
You say the song begins. You speak.
Well, I got the dirt all right. I got the dirt on Doris Day.
How'd you find dirt on Doris Day?
It's all over the place today. Because, I mean, Doris Day had one of those images, you know, like that was forever protected by the Hollywood community.
Sure. She
right?
called
like
herself America's virgin, and she was.
Right. Anything
squeaky
but,
clean.
Yeah. She's married four times. When she started to become a hit back in the late 1940s,
mm-hmm.
she was married to this guy's band leader. And she started having an affair with Jack Carson, the character, you know, the actor at the time, the leading man at the mm-hmm. time. And then she then started cheating on Jack Carson back with her estranged husband. And then she had a relationship with another, like an agent along the way.
Yeah, there was a guy who represented her and kind of led her astray with putting a lot of her money in things that were not great places to put your money and end up losing a lot of it.
She was at one time seeing three guys at the same time, Marty Melcher, George Wheeler, and Jack Carson.
She was a player.
She needed to choose.
And her handsome co-star in another film, Steve Cochran. True story, who Steve Cochran has been named after, the morning guy. He tells that story.
He does. He just got a movie poster gifted to him. That's really cool.
Was Joan Crawford's boyfriend at the time.
Mm.
So she was like...
She was getting around in Hollywood.
Oh, crazy. Smoking three packs a day. Then she decided to become a Christian Scientist.
Oh.
Which means that she only couldn't take aspirin. That's the only thing she couldn't do.
Everything else was okay?
Everything else was fine. She was apparently quite the sort of, you know, kind of getting around kind of a thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why are you telling us this now? Right?
Well, she's dead.
Because
she can, I know.
The truth needs to come out.
I know. Just saying.
She can't even defend herself. Right.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the interesting moment. See, back then, these images could be crafted.
Yes. It's so
now
true.
They can't be.
Now it feels like we know everything about our celebrities, and they cannot control their image. Even
right.
if you're a Kardashian and you try really, really hard, there's a camera everywhere, and someone willing to tell the story.
Right. People out to get you at some level. And no, she never had an affair with Rock Hudson.
She didn't?
No. Few women had affairs with Rock Hudson.
But she was known for being very sensitive about him when there was
still
stigma around AIDS and that you weren't even supposed to touch people with AIDS. And she brought him on her show and hugged him and was very, I just kind of helped that whole cause of understanding it a little bit more.
And I didn't see this in the Fox News bio, but she also apparently had a relationship with Ronald Reagan.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Who didn't she date? Man.
Exactly the point. Listen, I happen to think all of this is fine. This is human. This is what goes on. This is Hollywood. I mean, listen, I you know, who's going to... She's been married four times. I've been married twice.
Right, but it is true.
I'm halfway there.
It is true, though, because it's such a contrast between the girl next door and this, you know, this image that Hollywood created for her. And back then, I guess you were expected to live up to that image, right? Wasn't that, you kind of became that person?
Yes.
And then that was your image off screen, too.
And then they had people, they had private investigators who worked for the studios and the record labels. And if reporters wanted to get in the wrong way, they got, you know... Like, you know, Saudi Crown Prince, sort of like, you're not going to see tomorrow if you do this today.
Oh, gosh.
All right. There you go.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Doris Day. I know the question. Is the tribute over? Yes. The tribute to Doris Day is over.
Okay.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
And it's a Monday, but we have cocktails in the studio.
I know.
So strange.
I know. You know.
What is that all about?
Didn't we just get over the weekend?
Didn't we just celebrate a Carnarvon wagon?
Yes. Didn't we just do that? And now all of a sudden, cocktails again? People are going to start talking about it. People are going to assume that we are all alcoholics.
They
on
already
this program.
Are assuming
I was
going to
say, I thought that was already a thing.
Yeah. All right. So I guess
Lauren's pretty quick study, I think.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So, and we've corrupted her. I mean, we bring her into the show, and the next thing you know,
she's walking in double fisted with a couple bottles of bourbon. Hey, guys, I know you guys like to drink. And the next thing you know, we're in Roe's office.
Right. That's true. And then there's a video that's going to be popping up this week.
Oh boy!
An unboxing ritual. I won't say any more than that.
It's pretty cool,
but it involves some alcohol too. So I'm sorry, but listen, it's International Cocktail Awareness Week. I think is what it is, and you know every major. You know, like every major cause needs to have a week, and I think cocktails are as big a cause as any.
It's National Cocktail Day.
Cause of and solution to all of life's problems, we like to say. All right, now Valkachin Chicago is unveiling an experience. I'm going to let you people explain this because, quite honestly, there's a bunch of words here. I'm not even sure how to pronounce. Dean Zanella is the chef, and we have a mixologist with us, Becky Visconti West.
Yes.
Right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to let you explain why we're here and why we have to have Cocktail Awareness Week.
Go ahead, Beck.
Okay. Well, Valcuisine is launching this kind of... So mixology is not just for bars and restaurants. People are starting to make their own cocktails at home. People are starting to think about how they want to set it up, how they'd like to set up their space. So they are launching on Thursday like a nicer, fancier, like... basically home mixologist station that will have all of your tools, all of your needs right at your fingertips.
Oh, I like that.
And explain what Valcuisine is.
They're an Italian company that does home design kitchens, and they're beautiful kitchens. They're absolutely amazing, very state-of-the-art, but also with a good eye to functionality. So there's not a lot of bells and whistles you don't need, and every one you do need. And of course, with a good kitchen, you need a good bar.
You're telling Ro.
You know what? You stole that from my autobiography.
Write that one down, Ro.
Yeah.
You'll need that.
That actually is one of the snipes on the back of the autobiography. it's all it's about. All right. So what? Is this like a point where when people come into this event, this is not a bar, right? This is a
no. It's a showroom.
It's a showroom to see kitchens and bars.
Yes. There's four working kitchens.
What do we need? What's the key to a good bar ergonomic?
Having space for your bottles, having space for ice, cooler.
May I ask you a question about ice?
Yes.
What do you think the preferred ice for a cocktail is?
I like the large cubes.
Oh, large cubes. Okay.
With the kind of very square. So when you shake it, it chips off the edges of the square, and then you get good dilution. You don't want to use crushed ice if you're shaking usually. Mm-hmm. There are certain classic cocktails that use crushed ice, but that would be something that you would pour the drink on top of to keep it nice and ice cold.
Yeah, I love crushed ice.
But if you use crushed ice, when you shake it, you're going to get over dilution and you're going to get a weak cocktail.
You don't need that.
No.
So what about like ice cubes themselves for the shake?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Because I like, for example, if I'm going to make a cocktail at home, that's not an if.
Hypothetical.
When
I'm going to make a cocktail at home, if I'm going to like make a martini, for example, at home, I'm going to make sure that it's so as cold as it possibly
can. Icy.
I shake it until I
your hand sticks to the shaker.
I put it on the dog and then throw the dog the ball and have the dog runs back. You know, it's sort of like I want that thing, you know, super cold. So yes. Ice cubes work for that, or are you talking about the square cube?
No, the big square cube is something that you would use on like a stir drink to keep it cold.
Yeah.
But you've already diluted it over smaller ice and then just serve it over the large cube.
Right.
You just want the ones that are about 1 by 1 inch.
Yeah, I'm just, to me, this is there's a mastery to this. There's an art to this. Yes, there is. If you don't get this right, you're completely screwed. All right. And then.
There's still alcohol involved, so you're not really screwed.
Well. Then again. All right. So then you get, and you want this stuff all like at home. Because the bar, it's an interesting thing with the bar. Because the bar, people build a bar, then they want shelves behind the bar. They want to, you know, so they want to turn around and be able to grab stuff. But a lot of people don't have space for that.
Right. Well, the functionality is what you're really looking for. You want to have your, you want to have an area where your bottles that you usually grab, your vodka, your gin, your tequila, whatever you'd like, are close by. Then you need to have ice close by. It's good to have a little refrigerator close by.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important
stuff.
What's
in the little refrigerator for you?
Wine and vermouth.
Wine, vermouth. Got to keep the vermouth cold, right?
Yeah,
because vermouth will go bad.
It's wine-based, yes. Yeah. It'll spoil.
Yeah, I know.
That's good to know.
And garnishes.
Though. Yeah, what about all your garnishes? Because I think that is something that you sort of leave out when you're making drinks at home. It's like you don't want to pre-cut limes or cherries. You don't want to buy cherries or the blue cheese olives, but it can make such a difference in the drink.
If I'm having a dinner party, I'll put them out in a bowl of ice so people can self-serve. But generally, I would prepare the garnishes per order, ideally, and if it's for a party, definitely 15-20 minutes before guests arrive.
Mm-hmm. Right. See, that's an extra thing. You got a little extra step, but it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know.
You don't do that part?
Well, I find that if I make the cocktail, down the bar is downstairs and the main refrigerator is upstairs.
A lot of walking.
But I got a lot of refrigerators. I don't even know what
you have a television and refrigerator in every room of the house.
Yes, that's true. I should put blue cheese olives and have them changed out every, how long does a blue cheese olive last?
In my house, about 10 minutes.
Okay, but like if I bought one, I mean, do they last a week? How long do they last?
It should last a week if you keep it refrigerated.
Yeah. See, that's, again, I'm going to have to get just a blue cheese olive refrigerator. I think is what I'm going to need.
You don't want a bad blue cheese olive.
No. Although, no. when it's been marinating in a super cold martini, I figure I'm the worst type of
So do you eat the olives right away, or do you eat soak?
I'm a one in one.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, because when you know you start, you know it's
again. You're hungry.
Yeah, and then you're like, then I want this olive to sweat itself into the drink.
Yes,
to dirty up the already quasi dirty. Although the quasi dirty also screws up my skim ice on the top of the because it salinates and then the ice doesn't stay as icy as it should.
So what you do is you get a squeeze bottle and you put some of whatever juice you want, your olive juice that you make it dirty with, and you put it below the ice and you just squeeze. You get like a squeeze bottle with a lip with like the squeeze.
So
part.
I'm ice fishing.
Exactly.
I ice core through the ice of the skim ice on top of the martini, and then I dump that stuff in it, like squeeze that into the bottom, almost like a medical procedure.
Exactly. Don't put the olive juice in. If you like that heavy, like little layer of chipped ice on top, don't put the olive juice in when you're shaking it because the salt from it is going to melt all your ice.
You know, I've had princes and potentates, presidents on this program. You have now given me the most important piece of information that I have ever had in my life. And I would like to thank you for that.
That's life-changing.
Nothing as ever. Doctors. We had a guy here with the cure of cancer once. This is the most important thing ever. Very well done. All right. People want to go to this event. Let's just do this again. So Thursday night.
Yes.
5:30 to 7:30. Valcachine. I keep going back and forth. I don't know what
it is.
Valcachine. That's Valcine. Chicago, 300 West Superior. It's in the design district there, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And, Chef, I'm sorry we didn't have time to talk about all of your great creations, but you brought, what did you bring here?
A cup of crostini with asparagus salad on there, and then another one with morel mushrooms and a zucchini and spring garlic.
Will you be doing that at this event?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so people can have a little little food. You can make these beautiful, you've got a cilantro Collins, a limoncello spritz, a thyme Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Oh, that was my fabulous. That was my alias for many years. I was living when I was, you know, I was living above and below the law at the same time. All right. Well, thank you guys for being here. It is 300 West Superior. It's Thursday night from 5:30 to 7:30. Stop by, have a cocktail, and learn how to build the perfect bar. I think that's the way to think. So what we just learned right there. It's very important.
Awesome stuff. Exactly.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
After paying $36,000 for new windows, a suburban family is still waiting. Lourdes Duarte was looking for answers. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She will. Worth watching.
All right. We got White Sox baseball coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin is wheeling his way out to the park.
You get any more Doris Day dirt before we take off? For the
I can't believe you did that.
Well,
usually
listen.
On the day of someone's death, life becomes full of beautiful rainbows and unicorns. And today, the woman who is like known as America's sweetheart, there's so much dirt you dug up on
her. Got around. That's all I'm going to say. 3 packs a day.
We need the truth, Anna. The truth
Cereal
needs to come out.
Important. It sets you free.
Exactly. But you know, like a guy in Hollywood who did that, all these other guys were doing this. She was ahead of her time. She was a trailblazer. She was literally lighting one off the other like the cigarettes that she was smoking at 3 packs a day. I just did the math. If she was actually at seeing 4 guys at the same time, mm-hmm. and smoking 3 packs a day, mm-hmm. she literally would have to smoke half a pack during sex with at any given time. I'm just saying. I've done the math.
That's row math.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you got to sleep at some point. I'm working the sleep schedule in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she didn't sleep. I don't know. But that's why she should be a Christian scientist. I don't know. That was the whole thing. So she did become a Christian scientist, but that meant that she couldn't take an aspirin, but she could have these 4 guys
the
and
rest
the cigarettes
of
and the whole deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she also had 17 dogs, and that was a problem for her Beverly Hills neighbors. So
yes. Right. And I would imagine also some of the other lovers, because the dogs like to jump on the bed. You know, there's at least a 17 dogs. There's at least 4 of them that want to get in on the action. All right. Chicago, they're going to be proud of this. Chicago White Sox baseball is on the air. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3.